You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Way of the Intercepting Myth, Part 2. Misconceptions and Myths about Jeet Kune Do, the martial arts style and philosophy created by Bruce Lee. One of the myths is that Jeet Kune Do is really only a slapdash mixture of techniques from different martial arts, with no underlying logic or structure. This misconception is completely opposite from the truth. Bruce Lee began with the logic already firmly in his mind, and the structure grew from there over the years as he learned more and more from different styles. He conceptualized empty-hand combat as taking place in four ranges: kicking, punching, trapping or infighting range, and grappling. Grappling range was further divided into standing and on the ground. Techniques were drawn from what Mr. Lee felt were the arts that performed the most effectively and efficiently in each range, and more importantly, selected for their ability to seamlessly mesh with one another, and their adaptability to the stance and footwork, which were developed in the same fashion. This process bears similarities to the evolution of modern mixed martial arts. Now, there are people who call what they do Jeet Kune Do, but never seem to have gotten the memo about this structure. Mr. Lee was no more responsible for this than is the founder of any style which people imitate badly. Some of the misconceptions stem from a political rift in the world of Jeet Kune Do. Bruce Lee's teaching career took place in three different cities in the U.S. Seattle, then Oakland, California, and finally Los Angeles. He left students in each location. Because his own personal research was continuous and ongoing, his curriculum continued to evolve at each location. As a result, several branches of lineage grew from Mr. Lee's instruction over time. Different names were applied to the curriculum taught at different periods by different people. Some called it Wing Chun Do, others Junfan Gong Fu, and others Jeet Kune Do. All of these branches have developed skilled fighters and teachers. These lineages were on good terms with one another, but were usually not connected in any official way. Unfortunately, the inevitable politics of martial arts eventually reared its ugly head. After Mr. Lee's death, a number of people, all over the world, began to call the martial arts they practiced and taught Jeet Kune Do, without having trained under anyone in any of the lineages described above. Some of these folks were relatively innocent, well-meaning individuals who were strongly inspired by Mr. Lee's philosophy and strove to apply it in their own martial arts journeys. That was not their mistake. The mistake was in inappropriately using the phrase Jeet Kune Do as part of any advertising they may have done to attract customers. Most of the rest of these people were simply martial arts con men. This type of behavior prompted many of the higher-level legitimate practitioners of Bruce Lee's methods to convene a meeting in which they would attempt to promulgate standards for Jeet Kune Do that would make it difficult for martial con artists to exploit Bruce Lee's name for financial gain. My teacher, Sifu Dan Inosanto, attended this meeting. After the deliberations concluded, Sifu Inosanto wished the rest of the group well, but elected not to participate in the organization being developed. He felt that defining and systematizing Jeet Kune Do as the group proposed was contradictory to the intentions of Bruce Lee. Now, this put a crimp in the plans of many people at the meeting. Not only was their position now not unanimous, they had just lost their most valuable potential founding member. Sifu Inosanto was the person Bruce Lee had promoted to the highest rank of any student or instructor in Jeet Kune Do. They really wanted his support. This eventually led to a split in the world of Mr. Lee's lineal descendants. Those who formed the new organization, called the nucleus, and those who followed Sifu Inosanto's example, sometimes referred to as the Junfan Gung Fu Jeet Kune Do Concepts Group. Sifu Inosanto continued Bruce Lee's practice of research into various other martial arts, while still teaching Bruce Lee's curriculum as it stood upon Mr. Lee's final revisions, without making any changes to it. As he continued his research, he learned more about a number of different arts than most of us could in 10 lifetimes. I've personally seen him demonstrate this knowledge many times. At the same time, he also did a tremendous amount of promoting and assisting the growth of many obscure but effective martial arts styles and instructors. The Filipino martial arts, Muay Thai, Pentjak Silat, Shoot Wrestling, Savate, Bando, and Krabi Krabong are all more popular all over the world as a direct result of his efforts. Dozens of instructors in these various arts got huge career boosts when Sifu Inosanto threw the considerable weight of his name behind the effort of helping their arts grow. The members of the nucleus focused their efforts on refining their skills in and understanding of the body of work Bruce Lee had already produced. Eventually, some of them began to call what they did original JKD. A few even accused Sifu Inosanto of corrupting Jeet Kune Do by mixing it with the other styles he was studying and teaching. For some of them, the name Original JKD was a barb aimed directly at Sifu Inosanto's approach. In their minds, what he was doing might be Jeet Kune Do, but it's not the original Jeet Kune Do. When used in this fashion, the name Original JKD reminds me of the logical fallacy called the No True Scotsman fallacy. In this fallacy, after someone's argument is refuted with incontrovertible evidence, the arguer alters his original argument by adding an adjective or an adverb to it. This is also a form of the fallacy called moving the goalposts. This fallacy got its name from when a prominent member of the Scottish nobility heard tell of a particularly horrendous violent crime in his homeland. At first, no culprit was identified. He publicly proclaimed that "Nae Scotsman could have committed this crime." When word came out later that the culprit was indeed Scottish, he rapidly added a qualification to his earlier claim by stating, "Well, nae true Scotsman would have committed this crime." It is important to note that, especially towards the end of his life, Bruce Lee conceptualized Jeet Kune Do much more as a process than a product. The students at his Chinatown Academy in L.A. were frequently surprised with shakeups in the curriculum and training methods. When Mr. Lee discovered a new technique or concept, he was not shy about saying, "What I've been having you do up until now has been good, but this is better." It is thus logical to extrapolate that, had Bruce Lee lived, his Jeet Kune Do would be markedly different in 2015 than it was at his death in 1973. Sifu Inosanto had helped Mr. Lee run his Chinatown gym, and he had used his degree in education and his organizational skills to help formalize the curriculum. In the years since, he has hit upon what I think is a great way to both preserve the curriculum as it was at Mr. Lee's death and allow the students to continue to research and develop beyond it for their own martial arts journeys. He offers a course at his academy called Junfan Gung Fu that is precisely the curriculum from Bruce Lee's academy as it was at the time of Mr. Lee's death, meticulously adding nothing and removing nothing. He does not mix other arts into the presentation of this class. That's original JKD. In addition, he offers separate classes in Muay Thai, the Filipino martial arts, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, mixed martial arts, and the Majapahit martial arts. Another myth, one that is actually put forth by some practitioners of original JKD, is that Sifu Inosanto exaggerates the number of martial arts styles from which Bruce Lee drew when developing Jeet Kune Do. They assert that JKD is actually a mixture of only fencing, boxing, and Wing Chun Kung Fu. I have personally seen Mr. Lee's original handwritten notes, now in Sifu Inosanto's possession, which unequivocally list more than 24 source styles, Granted, some styles contributed more than others, but each contributed something which Mr. Lee felt at the time to be vital and important enough to list. If JKD is made up of only boxing, fencing, and Wing Chun, from which art did Mr. Lee draw his famous sidekick? While Wing Chun does have a kick that could be called a sidekick, the position of the kicking hip is very different from that of Mr. Lee's signature version. So different, in fact, that it would not be correct for traditional Wing Chun. No, Bruce Lee's full hip sidekick was developed as a result of trading tips and training with other martial artists, including practitioners of Northern Kung Fu and Taekwondo pioneer Jun Ri, who was a good friend of Mr. Lee. Bruce Lee made the spinning kick an integral part of his curriculum. I challenge you to find a spinning kick in Wing Chun or boxing. Well, let's see, there might be one in fencing. Oh, wait, of course not. It's fencing. Grappling was becoming more and more important to Bruce Lee towards the end of his life. He added a fair-sized grappling segment to the curriculum at his Chinatown gym. He drew from judo, jiu-jitsu, qingna, and wrestling as sources. Again, not to be found in boxing, Wing Chun, or fencing. In the final analysis, I think Bruce Lee would have liked seeing Jeet Kune Do sporting more than one face. JKD is, to me, an iteration of the scientific method, and science always advances faster when many different approaches are pursued towards the same goal. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.